Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It's good to be here on this morning and offer to God our praise and thanksgiving. It's cooler than it was the last time I stood in this pulpit. I almost thought about putting on my winter gown, but I thought, I'm going to keep going with my owl for just a few more weeks. But certainly we have felt the change of season this year. We welcome all those who are present here in the sanctuary with us this morning and all those who join us online. It is a pleasure to have you with us this morning. The announcements have been before you as we've been gathering, and I won't belabor them, but I encourage you each week to come in time to catch the announcement loop as it plays before you. The one I would draw to your attention is that Friday. This coming Friday is our first Friday fun day of the newish year. I don't know. It's, you know, we're kind of like school. It's a new year. This is an intergenerational event, so it's open to anybody who wants to come. But it always includes the young people. The event this week is we'll gather at the church at 5 o'clock on Friday for pizza, and then a trip over to Archie's for mini putt. And because we're at Archie's, there will be a cost for this event. It's $10, so please make note of that. As we enter God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we are his people and seek to walk in his paths. This morning's call to worship will appear before you on the screens, and I would invite you to respond where it indicates. Let us stand and as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Welcome to this holy place.
A house of prayer for many nations, home to all who come.
Welcome to this gathering place.
Friend and stranger, saint and sinner, in all who gather here.
Come with hope or hesitation, come with joy or yearning, all who hunger, all who thirst, for life in all its fullness.
Generous God and generous Savior, touch us through your Spirit.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of compassion and grace, you call us into this place and into the circle of your loving care. As we enter your presence this day, help us to trust in you more and more, and empower us to share the story of your love with those we meet each day. In us, may they see your love lived out. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we come this morning back in June, we made note of the fact that at the last session meeting, we had a discussion, and we were going to use this first hymn period to kind of introduce some newer music to the congregation. And this morning is we get off on that foot, because it dawned on me about a year or two ago that it's 25 years since this hymn book was released to the Presbyterian Church, and 25 years is a long time, and a lot of Christian music has been written in the intervening 25 years. And when the book before this was 25 years old, we replaced it with this book. So it's time that we learn some new hymns. This morning's new hymn is All Are Welcome. It's a hymn written by Marty Hagen, a church musician from Minnesota, who writes a lot of music for the liturgical church. And so there's lots of repetition in it, so it should be easy to learn. Marty's music is always very, very singable. This hymn is no exception. So let us join our voices as we sing. All are welcome. You're invited to join in as you feel comfortable. Friends, It is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting, therefore, in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. You love us with open arms, O God. Forgive us when we do not put your love into practice, when we do not challenge the injustice around us, when we are not generous with the gifts we have to share, when we are slow to compassion and quick to judgment, when we contribute to the brokenness of the world instead of helping to make it whole. Forgive us, O God, of the ways we fall short. Free us to try again, and let your love lead the way. Amen. Friends, having heard God's grace, how God is gracious to us, let us now stand firm in the faith, covered by the saving grace of God, and ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn for the time with the children this morning is Teach Me, God, to Wonder, hymn 704 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. Please be seated. And I see we've got a couple of youngsters at the back. Do you guys want to come up this morning for a minute? I'm going to have a quick discussion with the young people, and then we're going to move to the teacher commissioning for this Sunday school year. And so I think all of my teachers are upstairs at the present time, but for those who are in the nursery, if there's anybody down there that can come up, that would be great too. Good morning. And how are you guys this morning? Good. Big week this week, wasn't it? Back to school. How would that go? Okay? I was afraid of what you were going to say there, Jake. Not as bad as you expected. That's always good to hear on the first week of school, because sometimes it can be, oh. You didn't go to a new school this year, did you?
I went to Iona.
Oh, you go. So you did go to a new school.
Yeah.
My mother reminded me of a story from when I was a kid of going to a new school while I was on vacation. I forgot all about this. Adults in the room may have gone through the period of consolidation. Was that a thing here in Ontario? Back in the, throughout the decades. Consolidation was when little country schools got closed and big schools were developed. And there's a little country school not far from the Ferguson Farm, isn't there, back there on the South Branch? Do I have that right? There is. So you can show them on the way home the little school. You didn't go there, did you, David? No. When I grew up, in a two-room schoolhouse until I turned grade 7. And when I entered grade 7, I went to a big school with 1,000 kids in it. I went from two rooms to 1,000 kids. But this is not that story. That was its own story. This is the story of a couple of years before we moved to the place where I consider I grew up. We lived in another community, and they were going through this process of consolidation. And I went from the little school that I walked across the field to get to being bused, and the big school wasn't built yet. And so what happened was all of the grade sixes would get bused to one school, and all of the grade fours would get bused to other schools, so that all one grade was in one school instead of how it used to be, which was I would be in a class, I would be in a room, and the teacher would teach grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, and grade 4, because that school went up to grade 8. My Clyde River school went up to grade 8. So the first four grades were all together in one school. Then we all went away. And this is the year I was in grade 4. And so it was, as you can imagine, all new. I'd never gone on a bus before. So I had to get on a bus. I'd never taken my lunch to school before, because I could always run across the field and go home for lunch. And if you think about it, if you take kids from a whole bunch of different schools, if you take 600 kids, so let's say out of 10 schools, and you're busing them all over the place, that can be confusing, don't you think? Wouldn't you think that would be confusing? On the first day of school, we were all bused into the central location from which we were going to all be bused out to all these schools where just the grade fours would be and just the grade threes would be. I got teachers laughing and shaking their heads already. I got off my bus, and there were teachers there telling you where to go. And this teacher told me to get on this bus because I was in grade four, and I did. And we arrived at school, and we got off the bus, and the teacher at that school went, "What are you doing here? I don't have you on my list. You're not supposed to be at this school." Imagine what it would be like to do that. And so my mother said I came home, and I said, "Oh, some stupid teacher put me on the wrong bus," and I wasn't very happy. So I'm glad to hear that you had a great first day. Now, did you learn anything on your first week?
Kind of.
Ray, Lynn, did you learn anything? How to be nice. Well, that's good. what do you think you're going to learn? What's going to be your, what are you looking forward to? Math? Math. You like math. That's great. Math is, what grade are you again, Jake?
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Start learning all kinds of stuff. Start going to science now, too, right? Which is always great. That's, we just sang that hymn, right? What a wonderful hymn that was. We just, did you hear the words to that hymn? That first words? Teach me, God, to wonder. Right? What we need when we are learning is to imagine and to wonder about all of the great things that God has made and the way that it all works together. And mathematics is one of those ways that we see the perfection of God's creation, because math works together. Other things, you can be freeform, but math always kind of works together, unless you look on social media, and we won't go into that. What about you, Ray? What are you looking forward to this year? What grade are you? Remind me. You're grade 10, right?
No.
No? Going to driver's ed. That's what you're looking forward to.
I'm in kindergarten.
You're in kindergarten. Wow. So you're going to learn all kinds of great stuff, too. ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and you should have those. Some printing stuff. Great things that she's going to learn. And here at church, we're going to learn, too. And we're going to learn about the love and the wonder of God. And so we're very grateful that we can gather together. Each of us, all of us, are learning every time we come. But for the young people, we take a special concern and privilege to be able to share the faith. And at this time, I'm going to ask our stepped on my dress. That's why you never go up the steps backwards. I'm going to ask our teachers and our nursery care folks to come forward, and our clerk of session as well. Good morning, everyone. And this is the point when I always am afraid I'm going to forget somebody off the list, but I'm going to do my best. This year, as working with the Sunday school and with the youth as well, we have Kyung Mai and Trish and Laura. And then down in the nursery for this year will be Carol Ann and Sherry and Susan. And so we're very grateful to them for their willingness to share. There's a litany that goes along with this teacher commissioning, so you can follow along with lines on the screen, and there will be responses for you guys, and guess where they're going to be? Friends, as the people of God, we are always growing in faith and understanding. We give thanks to God for the people who commit themselves to the teaching ministry of this church. It is through the work of willing teachers that we are helped to come to know and love our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come together and say with the prayer, and the words to the prayer are on the screen. Our God, bless this congregation and all who teach and lead. May we all grow in faith and be willing to reach out to people in the world to share your love. Strengthen our commitment to the church's teaching ministry. May your Spirit guide us to hold passionate convictions without arrogant judgments. Open our eyes and ears to see and hear all aspects of truth, so that we may work with compassion for justice. Help us to risk change for the gospel's sake. In the name of Jesus, amen. Friends, you have agreed to be part of the teaching ministry of this congregation, proclaiming the good news to the people who live in a rapidly changing world, a world of conflict, a world struggling with values and direction in the future. In so doing, you have offered yourselves to give leadership to the children of God, so that they may learn, grow, and discover together. Therefore, I ask you, do you confess your faith in God, the creator and sustainer of the world, in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, and in the Holy Spirit as your guide to truth? Do you offer yourselves in humility, being subject in everything to God who rules over all, giving of your time for the study of the Holy Scriptures, and planning for the nurture and training of those entrusted to you? I would ask the congregation to stand. Do you, the members of this congregation, accept these teachers and the responsibilities given to them to nurture your children in God's way, truth, and life? And do you promise to support, encourage, and uphold them in this teaching ministry with your prayer, interest, and participation?
We receive these teachers in their responsibility to teach our children, and before God, offer them our constant support by prayer and willing help.
In our church, the session is entrusted with the task of overseeing the education of God's people. Before God, the session pledges to be responsible for the administration, oversight, support, and evaluation of the education program, and further promises to you our prayers and willing help. By the authority of the session, you are commissioned to teach and lead in this congregation. Be enthusiastic, honest, and faithful to Christ our Lord. Be respectful of our past traditions, be dedicated to the present programs, and be willing to be innovative as you reach out in faith to the needs of our children this year.
May God's blessing be upon you and surround you as you serve in this task. And may the blessings of God be upon all who are gathered here as we grow and develop in our faith and love for him who first loved us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The congregation may be seated, and the teachers, and I know it's going to be a fun day. It looks way funner outside the sanctuary than it does in, I'm going to say that. And Jake and Ray, if you guys want to go with the teachers, they're going off, and you guys are going to have some fun this morning. So thank you, everyone. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your Holy Spirit, that as we hear your word, we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 35 and can be found on page 678 of your pew Bible, page 678. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The responsive reading for today is Psalm 146, and the verses will appear before you on the screen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, for all generations. So art. The New Testament reading this morning is from James chapter 2 and may be found at page 219 of your Pew Bible. Page 219. Its advice and instructions are as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Now let us sing hymn 760, where cross the crowded ways of life. Hymn 760.
Across the crowded ways of life.
And once more, let us listen for God's word, as it has been given to us in Mark chapter 7, reading verses 24 to 37. From there, Jesus went away into the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had been unclean immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee. And in the region of the Decapolis, they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands upon him. He took him aside in private away from the crowd and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She had a name, Justa. At least by the early church, she had a name. This woman, identified simply as the Syrophoenician woman in Mark's gospel, had a name. So did her daughter, Beatrice. But sometimes, you know, it's difficult to see beyond those things that separate us to acknowledge the humanity of others. And the fact that she was a Syrophoenician woman is almost a redundant detail in this story for this morning. You see, Mark begins by telling us that Jesus had gone away to the region of Tyre. Now, if you forget your biblical geography, and you know, we don't spend a lot of time in Tyre, so that's entirely okay. See what I did there? Okay. If you forget your biblical geography, Tyre was on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, just north of the Sea of Galilee. It was about 180 kilometers north of Jerusalem. Kind of situated. If you were looking on a world map today, Tyre is in the country Lebanon. But in biblical times, this region was known as Syria. That's the Syro part of the Syrophoenician woman. She was in the land of Syria. The other thing that we need to remind ourselves about the city of Tyre, is that Tyre was a major seaport, a crossroads of the world where various cultures interacted and intersected with each other, trading goods from as far away as Persia to the east, and then the countless countries of the Mediterranean to the west. And most notably, Greece. Greece, who were the dominant sailing nation of the day, that's the Phoenician part. So this Syro-Phoenician woman that Jesus inhabits is someone from the city of Tyre in the land of Syria who has Greek roots in her genealogical history. But she really wasn't extraordinary in that regard, then, was she? Probably many of the inhabitants in Tyre were also of Syrian and Greek heritage. And so Jesus has come to her town. He has come to get away. I guess that seems to be the dominant theme in our readings from Mark for this summer. I'm not sure if the folks who have been preaching over the last month have all stuck with the lectionary and the Mark readings, but Mark seems to be doing a lot of Jesus getting away. Maybe Jesus was going on summer vacation too. Well, because I was thinking about that because, of course, one of the last passages that I preached before I went on vacation had to do with just that. Jesus trying to escape from the crowds with his disciples so that they might rest. And here we are again. As Jesus arrives in this Syro-Phoenician city, he is greeted by this woman, a woman with great need. Her little daughter has an unclean spirit, and she came to beg Jesus for help. What ensues is this difficult discussion. In response to the prayers of the woman, Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and to throw it to the dogs." To which the woman responds, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And we conclude with, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." It's a story that we know well. We've heard it in Scripture before. If you hang out in Anglican churches for a while, it's one that's very familiar. Within the Anglican tradition, the imagery of this story, the story of the Syro-Phoenician woman, is immortalized in a prayer known as the Prayer of Humble Access, which is said during the celebration of the Eucharist. "We do not presume to come to this table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same God whose property is always to have mercy." But there's something. There's something that just doesn't sit right with this exchange between Jesus and this woman, isn't there? We all feel it, don't we? And you're not alone. Biblical interpreters stumble over this passage. That's what I've learned this week. The most interesting thing that I've discovered about this text is the struggle of scholars of the church to interpret this story, to make it make sense. Almost everything that I read in any number of commentaries began with these words. "Now, this story is not about." That's helpful. But then, from there, opinions differ as to what it's not about. Some say that this is not about the qualities, the outsider qualities of this woman. It's not that she is a woman in a male-oriented society. It's not that she is a Syrophoenician woman and Jesus has come to the Jews. That's not it. Others said, it's not about her changing Jesus' mind, although that certainly seems to happen. And still others attempt to blunt the cutting words of Jesus by saying, well, you know, Jesus, he didn't really call her a dog. He called her more a puppy, as if somehow that's going to make things better. A little dog. It's uncomfortable. With such a morass of biblical interpretation surrounding this text, then what are we to say? How do we find the key to unlock the mystery in God's word today? Now, if you've spent time with me in Bible study, as a number of you have, you know the answer to this question, don't you? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot this morning. We haven't been together all summer, so if you forgot the saged wisdom of your teacher, you will be forgiven this once. Indeed, it's something I've made reference to in sermons here at least 3, 4, 5 times, so you all should be able to answer this question. What does Scripture say? The Westminster Confession of Faith, one of our subordinate theological standards of the church, asserts that Scripture is self-interpreting. What does that mean? It means that when we are struggling with these difficult passages of Scripture to find the meaning, we must turn to the rest of the canon of Scripture to see if what we have concluded from this difficult passage is in alignment with the rest of God's revelation that we are sure and steadfast upon. Or, to put it as I often say, what are the echoes of Scripture that are present in this text? So that's probably where we need to start today. This passage of Scripture cannot be about Jesus seeking to deny this woman healing that she so desperately asks for. Why can I say that? Because it is so far from the character of Jesus. Jesus healed and never set tests before the people who sought to heal him, who sought healing from him. Indeed, he sought to remove the barriers to healing that existed. Think about the lame man lying on his bed beside the pool of Siloam in the temple in Jerusalem, waiting for the waters to be disturbed so that he might venture to go down the steps and dip his toe into the water and be healed. Jesus didn't wait for the next wind to cause ripples across that pond. He healed him then and there. Nor did Jesus turn away any of those who came to him who were not from the Hebrew tradition. People like the Roman centurion seeking healing for his daughter. Jesus didn't tell him, go home, there are others in line before you. Come back later. Indeed, Jesus focuses on the outsider often. When the woman with hemorrhage comes, she's one who is unclean and so should not have been in the presence of Jesus. But he heals her. without even knowing. And he uses those who are considered less than, the Good Samaritan, and names him as a far greater and far more faithful person than any priest or Levite who might pass by one who lies by the side of the road. It's not Jesus' way to deny healing. So if that's not it, then what is it? What is our focus in this incident? As I kept reading this text, I decided there are two things that are important for us to observe in this text. They have to do with the woman and with the crumbs. Like so many people who come to Jesus in Scripture, this woman comes out of utter need. She has reached the point in this journey of sickness and searching for healing where there are no options left. Everything else has failed, so Jesus is her only hope. And knowing this, she throws herself at Jesus' feet and pleads for his help. All pride is gone. The idea that maybe she will be able to do this on her own if she just works hard enough or prays hard enough or finds the right healer. None of that. All that is left is Jesus. Jesus in this story is the answer. And the second thing that I started thinking a lot about was the crumbs. Think about a crumb. Just a little bit of something, a little crust of bread that has fallen onto the cutting board, or a little bit of a cracker that is snapped off as you're trying to spread the peanut butter across the surface. Small and insignificant. The crumbs we leave behind as we slice the bread, eat the cracker. But in this story, the crumbs are enough. Points us to our understanding that we don't have to grasp the gospel in its fullness. We don't have to be the greatest scholar, and perhaps this is the appropriate text to teach us this lesson. We don't have to be the greatest scholar who comes with certainty to God's word every time and goes, I know exactly what that means. Certainly this morning, I'm not feeling that way. But we come. Like the Syrophoenician woman, like Jesta, we come. Not looking for greatness, but looking for that which is enough. And in Jesus Christ, we find limitless grace, even when it's just a crumb. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to place our trust in someone like that. To know that it doesn't always have to be perfect. It doesn't always have to be right. But that Jesus accepts us when we come in humility and ask for his help, committing ourselves to him and to him alone. And that is what we find this morning in this passage. It's what we find in our lives each day as we wander around, tending to the mundane things of life, slicing bread, sweeping up crumbs. But everything that we do as people of faith, we do as people who walk alongside our Savior, and we know that in the end, He is with us, and that His presence is enough. Thanks be to God that He has sent Christ into our world and into our lives to sustain us in all things and to assure us of God's grace. Amen. Into God's hands we place the welfare of all creation. In the name of the one whose life, death, and resurrection and ascension is our only life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, let us come now and present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Receive our thanks, O God, for your gifts of life, means, and time. We treasure your offerings, and small as our return giving may be, welcome it for the sake of those in need and for the furtherance of your witness in this world. Make us daily more grateful for all that we have been given. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. O God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we come to you in prayer as the summer season draws nearer to its close. We give you thanks for the occasions that we have enjoyed, the opportunity to catch up with family and friends, to travel for recreation and restoration, and to let our worries go. We are grateful for each moment to savor the beauty of your creation. Refresh us for the season ahead, we pray, and renew our commitment to serve you. O God, we recall that Jesus faced many demands wherever he went, and pressure from critics whatever he did. We pray for all those who have not found rest this summer, for those whose work is stressful, exhausting, or unappreciated, and for those whose livelihoods remain uncertain because of circumstances beyond their control. We pray for those with hard choices to make about work or school or what will come next in life, about relationships and priorities, or about social policy and community leadership. May each one know your strength and guidance day by day. Today, we remember those for whom this summer has been touched by suffering. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and those facing an uncertain future or a difficult diagnosis. We pray for those who have lost their homes for whatever reason and for those who despair about the climate crisis and what it can be done to repair the suffering world. We pray for all those who join efforts to relieve suffering of any kind. May each one find courage to face tomorrow in your company. O God, we need the embrace of your presence, each in our own way. As we prepare to leave this service, we pray that you will walk with us and show us how to live each day as those who follow Jesus, for we dare to pray the words that he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Go, My Children, with Your Blessing, and the words to this hymn will appear on the screen. And you're reminded that there's a time of fellowship following worship, coffee and goodies. And I think I heard rumors that there's even ice cream this morning. So let us go now. Be strong and do not fear. Trust in the Lord's blessing of answered prayers and healing. Listen to the wisdom around you. Speak well of neighbors. Teach peace. And may the God who made you, loved you, and lives with you bring you to a faith that cannot be weighed down and a courage that knows no bounds, this day and always. Amen.
Amen. We praise your name, O God. Thank you.